Hey everyone, it's your old friend Ariel, and I have a big favor to ask of you before we get going on today's show. Promise it will not take up too much of your time. As you know, our show is supported by some fantastic sponsors. Well, we'd love to hear your feedback about them. Head to podcastlisteners.com and fill out a short anonymous survey right now. That's it. We swear. Again, that's podcastlisteners.com. Love you.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ariel Helwani's MMA Show.
Back in your life with the post show on this Monday, November 19th, 2018. Hi, everyone. Hope you're having a great day. I enjoyed my time today on the program. We talked to a lot of interesting people, and it was a very memorable day here on the program. Let me peel back the curtain if I can. And I see Nurik Rick out of the corner of my eye going like, oh my gosh, what is he talking about? What is he doing? What the heck is going on? And I know Jake back there is thinking the same thing. But let's call it like we see it here on the post show. Nurik Rick in the house. How are you, sir?
Hello.
Yes. Got a new haircut.
Look at that thing.
Look at that fade. High and tight. It has not been an easy day.
From a technical perspective? No.
Correct.
It has not.
But here's the thing.
Yes.
Both you and Jake and everyone back in Bristol powered through.
Correct.
And in the end, we got a whole show on. We were only like a minute late.
Correct.
When it initially looked like we would be like 25, 30 minutes late. And why am I bringing all this up?
Why are you bringing all of this up?
I'll tell you why. Because today on the show, we spoke to some people like Ray Borg.
Yes.
Like Daniel Kelly.
Yep.
Like Ian Heinisch, who have overcome a lot, who continue to overcome a lot, whether it's a family member, whether it's for themselves.
Yeah.
Whether it's a son, whether it's their own dreams and aspirations. And I said right before this show, what did I say? Come on, tell him. Okay, what I said
was, I don't remember.
I asked Jake, is everything okay? And he said he was annoyed. And I said, you know what? As someone's calling me right here, ruining my moment, it's okay. We did our best. We put out a show. Everyone's going to love it. It was a great show. It was one of my more memorable and favorite shows since coming over here. And you said, wow, you're the one who's being positive because I'm usually not the positive one.
Those roles are usually reversed.
Yes.
Jake,
you two,
is usually very
both
optimistic.
Of you are usually the positive ones. But after talking to Ray Borg and after talking to Daniel Kelly, how could we be bummed out?
Sure.
About some technical issues.
Inspiring stories, for sure.
Inspiring.
Ian
just
well.
Kind of, it kind of reminds you that
there's bigger things happening here and puts it into perspective in a big
We're
way.
We're doing our very best.
Yeah.
And there's always going to be growing pains. There's always going to be things to overcome. And, you know, like I said, there's some exciting things happening in the very near future for this program. Maybe now is not the time to talk about them, but there are some things that a lot of people
Teaser.
Are going to be very, very happy about and very excited about. And, you know, crap happens. Technical
wow.
things happen.
Who is this?
Right, Jake? Can I get an amen?
Amen. This is the
Who
best
is this person?
I've ever seen.
You know what I'm saying?
What?
It's Thanksgiving.
You know what?
Be
that's
thankful
probably
for your health. I don't really celebrate Thanksgiving.
No, you get to sit there while John,
but
getting so many plugs on the show, but John cooks you your Thanksgiving dinner.
The legendary
and you're
John
just
Beer.
Sitting there enjoying.
It's important to be thankful, and I feel like
you are thankful.
I am thankful. People are healthy in my life. Family members are healthy. Your daughter's turning one
Whew.
This week, right?
Big.
Friday?
She will be one on Friday.
Jake cut himself shaving.
That you're thankful
but he
for?
Survived,
Thank you.
But he survived.
Okay.
I mean, there's a lot to be thankful for
yes.
here. We're approaching a new era for all of us here at ESPN who love this sport. There's a lot. So what? The Skype didn't work for one or two guests. So what? We had audio coming out of one ear, I should say. These things happen in MMA podcasting. So
wow.
I'm going to be
the
beacon of light.
Positive one.
Yes.
Yeah, I appreciate
I'm
going to
be the, for the first time in my life, I'm going to be the glass half full guy.
This is much appreciated. I think Jake in particular needed
Well, both
it.
Of you back there are probably, you know, frustrated and saying, you know, Ariel, can you just hurry up the damn show and this and that? And I'm here just enjoying my time talking to AJ Agazarm, I'm talking to this person, that person, Roy McDonald, etc. So I appreciate what you guys have been through back there. And, you know, I'm so positive. I'm so excited. I'm looking forward to Tito versus Chuck 3.
I am also looking forward
to it. Tito and I had a moment. He unblocked me.
He unblocked you.
How special is today? Tito Ortiz has finally unblocked me. 4 to 5 years now, in the making.
Now, was there a time where you had been unblocked and then got reblocked?
Absolutely. Multiple times.
Okay.
Multiple times. The nail in the coffin the last time was...
What was the most recent?
He came out for a fight wearing an Osama bin Laden t-shirt with an X on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said something on Twitter to the effect of, like, with all due respect, Tito, it's 2015. Like, could we move past the Osama bin Laden thing? And he was like, with all due respect, and misspelled it. And he's like, you should shut up. And that was it.
And then blocked.
Yeah, I was just saying, like, let's evolve, you know?
Well, you're back in the fold.
I'm back.
Let's see how long that takes you to...
I'll probably go till Monday.
Maybe Saturday.
Well, Saturday night, like at around midnight Eastern.
You'll be reblocked.
Once they don't have anything to sell. And then, but for now it's nice.
Yeah. Take advantage of it. Tweet him. Tag him.
I feel good.
Yeah. I feel good too. It was a good show. We also spoke to Chuck. You're not blocked by Chuck.
Never. Chuck is a legend. But how about AJ Agazarm?
Yeah. AJ,
what a character. You know this man?
Well, if you don't recall, I was involved in Metamoris,
right,
who has presented you that belt that you discussed with AJ. So I've known about AJ and then known AJ for a little bit now. I've always known that he was a personality and somebody.
The Florida boy.
Who, if given the opportunity, and I think this transition to MMA is a big opportunity for that, would take advantage of it. And
yeah.
I think people will be enamored with him in a way that is similar to some of the other BJJ players that have come over. It seems like, now, not to get on my high horse here, but all the people from the certain disciplines, whether it be wrestling, kickboxing, or jiu-jitsu, are not known or appreciated until they finally do make the transition.
That's
over.
Not true. It's just because this particular show focuses on those guys. I'm sure they're appreciated.
It's not
in
just
other
show.
Circles. But the MMA community is going to focus on guys who are in MMA.
Sure, but
you can't
then,
expect us to cover kickboxing and jiu-jitsu.
Maybe. If you're looking for the people who eventually be, if you want to be first,
sports.
If you want to be first,
they're
if you want to know,
sports.
These people started somewhere.
Sure.
And the other point is, we get excited about and hype them to the moon based on those credentials that are not necessarily known about. Like, we need to probably do some research on these guys ahead of that. You know, Gokhan Saki had an entire career before he
different.
Came over.
I think most people know Gokhan Saki, but there's 500 fighters in the UFC alone, let alone Bellator, let alone, you know, PFL and one championship. It's enough people to know in those organizations.
Sure.
Let alone, you know, Metamoris or Polaris or Quintet or Glory.
You seem to know them. You're rifling them off pretty well.
You know, I'm the special case. But I was impressed. I think it's a nice signing, and it's another guy who Bellator is signing before their pro debut. Yes, he has the amateur fights, but it's him. It's Aaron Pico. It's Ed Ruth. It's Tyrell Fortune. It's Dylan Danis. These are names that are going to be the future of Bellator. This is what Scott Coker did with Strikeforce. He signed a lot of guys like Cain Velasquez, like Daniel Cormier, who were unknowns. Coming
to the
from
MMA space,
yes,
but from the world
from,
of grappling,
yes.
And then coming over, yeah, they're doing a great job with that. And I think he's somebody who fans will be able to appreciate right away. In a way, you know, I think I don't want to make too direct a comparison to Dylan Danis because we've already kind of gone down that road with AJ. But
well, sort of, he was kind of stiff arming me.
Yeah,
left
well,
and right.
He,
was it his, rude on my part to
no,
bring up Dylan Danis?
No, I think his point was I don't associate myself with him. I don't consider him a colleague.
He beat him, Dylan Danis, in a competition. I know they've competed before, but he completely glossed over it. I think he didn't expect me to know that.
No, I don't think that's the case. But I do think there's a difference in terms of what AJ is going to bring to the table promotionally. I think Dylan is very good at posting on social media and elevating the profile in ways that are not related directly to the fighting aspect. I think AJ is going to...
I think they're both great in their own right. It's good that they're not the same.
Yeah, and he's also not tied to Conor McGregor, which will
sure
bring emotions one way or the other, whether it's support or hatred.
But I am particularly intrigued by AJ because of the fact that he is a D1 wrestler.
Yeah.
And not just some school, the Ohio State University, and a black belt. I mean, it's very rare to see someone come from those disciplines, right?
You're either jiu-jitsu style is very wrestling focused. You can see the element of it. He is not the Gary Tonnen submission coming out of nowhere.
He's built like a grappler too. You know?
He is very much a wrestling focused grappler, and uses that in his submission game. People will be interested to watch him.
Now his friend Nick Diaz,
who,
I'll be honest, I was really introduced to AJ via Nick Diaz's social media because he hangs out with him, you know, 24/7, 365. He was in the news. Finally, we've been talking. Isn't it amazing that when Nick Diaz was suspended by the Nevada Athletic Commission initially, post Anderson Silva, it was for 5 years, and we all were up in arms, right? We need 5 years, all this and that. Sean McCorkle gets involved. There was a White House petition. If, in fact, he does fight on March 2nd, it will have been 4.5 years. Four and a half would be like 4 1/4. That's incredible that it's been that long. Yeah. Now, AJ saying, like, kind of dodge, is that the fight? Like, it sounded to me, and I've had my own conversations that have said this isn't a done deal. Now, Brett Okamoto spoke to Dana White. He said it on the record. But let's be honest. Dana White has said a lot of things on the record.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between I want this to happen, I'm working on this, and it is happening.
Yeah.
And Masvidal has a bout agreement. His team was very quick to tell me that. And what did I say to them? Paulo Costa had a bout agreement too when he thought he was fighting Yoel Romero. We've seen this time and again.
That first time. They actually did have that
The second time, yeah. No, I'm talking about the MSG one where they announced it and all that stuff. And Costa's like, I got a bout agreement.
Yeah.
I don't know how to feel about this. What do you think?
With the Diaz brothers, specifically with Nick, I think.
Yeah.
Although both of them it applies to, I'm not going to believe it until I hear it from them. That is my barometer when it comes to them. You can talk about a fight happening. You can, you know, Nate was in a fight with Dustin Poirier, and then not, and then in, and then not.
Yeah.
Unless I hear it from Nick, I don't believe it's happening. It doesn't feel real to me.
Does it feel like a Dana White special in the sense that he wants to put it out there to get people excited?
No, I think there's actual conversations at least happening.
Oh, sure.
But I don't believe that it is – the fight is happening until I hear it from Nick Diaz.
By the way,
Masvidal definitely wants it to happen and would have it tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
I don't believe anything until I see Nick Diaz say that it's happening.
And by the way, like, Nick Diaz might not be the guy to go
– to use this
– to go along
tactic.
With that little – yeah, you know what I mean? Like, him and his brother are typically the guy like, oh, you want to do this on my behalf? I'm out of here.
Now I'm not going to play ball.
Remember what I said? I think it was on this show. The ones who don't fear the repercussions of walking away are the ones that are the scariest to do business with.
There's no motivation for him to come back now unless he wants to come back. And if the game is to force him into it, I don't think he will be forced. As you said, we were all sad and disheartened and upset that he was suspended for 5 years. Then he's not. Now he's available to fight, and then he takes 5 years anyway. It's on his terms. It's on his timeline.
And I have questions about if he is coming back for the right reasons.
Sure.
I wonder if it's for money. I wonder if it's because this is a guy who always had a love-hate relationship with fighting, and by the end, it didn't seem like he liked it very much. You know, I know he's always been a little ornery with the media and whatnot, but by the end of that Anderson Silva experience, it seemed like he had kind of had enough.
Yeah.
And he did it all. He fought for a UFC title, Strikeforce champion, et cetera, et cetera. He essentially did Elite XC, all that and stuff and more. I am worried. I don't want Nick Diaz to come back. Of course, he could do whatever he wants. I mean, we have Chuck and Tito fighting. We all have sort of weird feelings about that as well. But you hope that it's for the right reasons.
Sure.
And until I hear it from him.
Until you hear it from him.
I'm worried that it's not for the right reasons. You get what I'm saying?
This will all be solved when we finally hear from Nick Diaz.
If it is true, do you like that fight? After all this time, is that fight? It didn't seem like AJ liked it on his behalf.
Are there fights I would like more? Certainly.
What's the most ideal? Do you want to see the Anderson fight again?
No interest.
They both seem to want it, but I don't think the UFC wants it.
Well, I think they could both use it, but that's not the fight I'd like to see. I don't know what the fight is that I want. I know that this is one of the possible fights that I like, but I have no strong feelings about it. I don't think, oh, I'm finally getting that Masvidal-Diaz fight that I always wanted. No, it's fine. It's a good fight. I think it's a good matchup.
Stylistically, it's a great matchup.
Yeah, I think that those styles together would make for a good fight. I'd have to think harder on who I'd want to see Nick fight. As time goes on, it becomes harder and harder to see him in this landscape because there's not storylines that he's attached to anymore.
What about Robbie Lawler?
Great fight.
After all this time.
I would be into that. You know what? You just got me. You just got me. That's the one.
After all this time,
yeah,
they do it again.
Do it. Hit me with that.
More than Masvidal.
Yeah. Big time more than Masvidal.
Isn't he fighting Askren?
See, it's been a long day.
Yeah.
See, that's why I like having Jake around.
He's in a fight, but that doesn't mean that's not the
fight. By the way, you know why I said that? Because I hate that Askren fight.
Jake?
That Askren fight makes no sense.
No, I agree. It's the one guy that he doesn't have any beef
with.
Yeah.
beef with. I want to see Askren against
everybody.
Like 9 of the other, you know, top 10 welterweights.
I also think that that doesn't preclude anything. I think Lawler will.
Lawler-Diaz is great. Yeah. I don't hate Masvidal-Diaz. I think it makes sense for both guys. And look, the guy hasn't fought in 4-plus years.
Let's see what we have.
Yeah. You know Masvidal is going to go toe-to-toe. You know the build-up will be fun if Nick wants to partake. I don't know.
Or if he doesn't.
I'm still having a hard time wrapping my head around the whole thing.
It's difficult. And he's been away so long that, again, like we don't know what we're getting. We don't know what mindset he's in. We don't know why he's doing it. We don't know who the best potential matchup for him is because we haven't seen him in the cage in a long time. There's a lot still to be seen here, including what is Nick Diaz's take on all of this.
Right. I learned a big lesson last week as I confessed on the program. And by the way, I got a lot of great feedback.
Now, what do you mean by great feedback? On methods to
stay up? Or, hey, I've been there before. I fall asleep.
I'm surprised they were so sympathetic.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people actually wrote to me personally saying like, oh, man, I've been there before. What I do is I tape it. I wake up. I don't look at social media. I watch it the next morning. It's great. I fast forward, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, that was great. I'm so happy that you were honest. You know, honesty again.
Wow.
Best policy.
I'm shocked.
This time, though, I said, you know what? UFC debut in Argentina, great country. I want to be there for the end, especially when it's the hometown guy, you know, the Argentine Santiago Ponzinibbio.
And by all
back
accounts,
home.
That crowd was apparently...
Meh. You know, early on, people were saying to me, oh, crowd of the year contender, awards coming up, right? That place was quiet. You could hear a rat pissing on cotton in that place. I mean, that place was so quiet. I was actually quite disappointed. Now, in their defense, 2 hours ahead of us, so that main event was happening at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
So the main card started at midnight, local time. You can't expect that.
TV.
How do you go to a place for the first time and say, you know what? You know what's best to grow this sport in this part of the world? Let's have a main card at midnight locally.
TV and in arena are always a little bit different.
It was very quiet during some of
those
fights.
Now, I certainly think earlier
like
it was more exciting.
Super quiet.
And then,
yeah, Ponzinibbio woke him up. But anyhow, I went for a run at around 9:45, and that woke me up because that prolonged things. Take a shower in between. There's so many breaks in between the fights.
You had plenty
of time.
You
take a shower.
Yeah.
I went to do grocery shopping. I ran.
I know you're lying now.
No, I did not do that. But I built a play set outside, like a playhouse.
Don't buy it.
I did some gardening.
Don't buy it.
No, I didn't do all that. But I did run. I did take a shower, and it was great because it prolonged things. And guess what?
No joke.
Still fell asleep in the third and a half round. Still fell asleep. Now, I was like kind of in and out.
This. We talked about this
before
the show.
You didn't mention this. Still fell asleep. Woke up to the celebration. Went back. Saw the Ric Flair. Went to bed.
Oh, boy.
It's tough. It is hard out there being an MMA fan.
I guess we need more tips.
But impressive fight, impressive performance.
Yeah, great performance by Santiago. Now, it seemed like there were more opportunities to finish that fight. It took a little longer than I expected.
I thought he was done in the first round.
No, I think he was still hanging tough there.
His eye was all messed up.
But it took longer than I thought. But look, you know, it's hard to criticize. Magny's still a dangerous guy. You have to pick your spot, and he eventually got it done. So another finish for Ponzinibbio, who's...
I want to see him fight RDA Usman winner. That's
I like it.
That's the fight.
Man, it's hard because I don't think there's a lot of guys that are going to want to fight him. And I don't think he has enough cachet
juice.
Where, yeah, that he's going to be able to insert himself into fights, so he's going to be in a difficult position. The person who I'd compare it to is actually Usman. So Usman was kind of in that spot.
Yeah.
Usman versus Ponzinibbio would be a great
fight if he beats Ardia.
They're
supposed to fight in May, if you recall.
Yeah.
Let's say Woodley and Covington fight January 26th.
Yep.
There is a hope that they can get that done by that date, the Anaheim card.
I'm following.
That's in 2+ months. So you're going to have him. He's not getting a title shot off a win over
Neil Magny. No. This is not a title shot performance.
RDA, Usman are fighting in 11 days.
Yep.
So the timing works out perfectly. Have him fight the winner around the same time, February, maybe that March card.
Yep.
Boom. Winner fights for the belt.
This was a great performance, but this is not the performance that gets you the title shot. One more, and I think he's in there.
Darren Elkins loses to Ricardo Lamas.
Yep.
Classic Elkins. Tough. Hard to put away, but in the end.
I thought Lamas would struggle more. He looked really good.
Yeah, he did look good. Big win for him. How about Johnny Walker?
Johnny
that
Walker.
Guy is scary.
He's got the energy. He's got the performance.
He's got the name.
He got the name. There's a lot of puns that social media will lend itself to.
Scary.
Maybe.
That was the fight where it was so quiet. You can hear his elbow connect.
You could. The ring was mic'd well.
No, it was because it was quiet. Stop giving them an out. It was quiet.
The ring was also mic'd very well. I was about to say star making. I don't know if that might be a little bit too early, but I think Johnny Walker is now on people's radar. At first, it was Johnny Walker jokes.
Yeah.
Now it's like, oh, wow, no, maybe he might actually be able to fight.
Yeah, especially when Roundtree's coming off that win over Gokhan Saki.
That was a big performance.
Man.
He took advantage of a big spot. So kudos to Johnny Walker.
Spoke about Ian Heinisch with a great backstory, the great win. And
upset.
Then maybe the more controversial story, most controversial, whatever you want to call it, Cynthia Calvillo coming back after the suspension, missing weight, the frightening video, looking all out of sorts, people saying that, you know, she shouldn't fight, she's out of it, this and that, ends up winning.
First round.
Looks darn impressive.
Yeah.
And you know what this has spawned? And I'd love if we can nip this in the bud right here. And we could talk all day long about, you know, does she deserve 20%? Should it be a point deduction? Should she lose a round? Whatever the case is. Should she move up? I don't know. But you know what I'd like to end? At the end of the day, what are we talking about here? We're talking about fighter and athlete safety, right?
Yes.
We're talking about men and women dehydrating themselves, getting on the scale, then having to go fight in a cage fight. There's a lot of things that could go wrong here.
Sure.
And I think we've been lucky,
the sport,
we've dodged some bullets, especially the major leagues of MMA, UFC, Bellator, etc. One thing I would love to see, and one thing that has become a lot more prevalent, and maybe I'm noticing it more, there's like this bickering and almost like this open jealousy, like this open celebration anytime someone misses weight, looks out of sorts, who is affiliated with one nutritionist, one nutritionist team,
sure.
And then the other side comes on social media and says, oh, look at this. Can we stop this? This is not a good look. Because at the end of the day, what are we talking about? We're talking about athlete health and safety. You should not be – I know that there is competition. I know that it is business. I know that maybe you are upset about this and that. But I'm not going to – you know. I don't like what I see from Mike Dolce. I don't like what I see from Tyler Minton and George Lockhart. I want this all to stop. These are the best of the best at what they do. And this constant throwing of shade, this constant – guys, just end it. Be happy with what you have. Be happy with your careers. Be happy with who you work with and for, and end that. But don't go online. Every time someone screws up, you don't know the full story. You don't know. She came out and said she was going through some female problems, things like that. Okay, fine. Stop with the going online every time and poking the bear and throwing shade and saying that, you know, what you're doing is false. It's like, we don't need this. This is not good for the sport.
Yeah.
And I want to see it come to an end.
I think it's coming from a place, and I'll you know, assume here, and I can be corrected if I'm wrong. I think it's coming from a place, though, of feeling that whatever methodology each individual or group is using is the right one. They're coming from a perspective of wanting to get this right because it's such a serious issue. And now those conversations, I think, could maybe be happening behind closed doors instead of in public. That would be the difference.
It's a bad look.
It looks bad. And I think ultimately they'd probably be closer rather than further in terms of what their goals are in terms of protecting that athlete safety.
Yeah.
And I think if these conversations were happening not in the public eye, they'd probably be able to level and meet at a better place. They feel like the methods that they have are the right ones, and want all the athletes to be able to access them. If there was a way to bridge that gap and it wasn't competitively, if it wasn't in public where the objective is to make sure that your method is talked about the most positively, I think they'd probably be more similar than different.
I know it's not apples to apples, but remember when Stephen Curry used to get ankle injuries all the time?
Sure.
The Kawhi Leonard situation last year with the Spurs, you didn't have, you know, the head trainer for the Milwaukee Bucks or the Orlando Magic or the Charlotte Hornets come out and say, look at those guys over in Golden State. Look at those guys over. It's just like, that's not the way it should be. Mind your own business. You don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I know it's competitive. Why are you smirking at me like that?
Well, because then there's Markel Fultz.
Yeah, so.
And now every...
By the way,
everybody involved in that wants to put the blame on the other people, and this trainer did this thing.
I wish we could do a whole podcast on Markel Fultz and how the you know, I love social media, but the constant posting of every one of his blunders is gross to me.
Well, this is shaming.
It's public shaming.
I'd say that's the similar comparison.
It's gross. Please, can we stop this?
Yeah.
Enough. Every time the guy messes up, we have to post something.
Yeah.
It's too much.
The same way when the athletes miss weight, that becomes the hugest story. And does none it? Of it's positive. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely does. Cynthia Calvillo missing weight was the biggest story of this weekend.
And all the fellow fighters come out of the woodwork and say, look at her. Like, I had Alex Chambers come to me and say, like, oh, she's unprofessional. I'm like, look, I can't call her unprofessional. I don't know what she's been through.
Yeah.
And you know, I've never gone through what she's gone through. And I'm not giving her an out. You know, Cynthia Calvillo, I hardly know her. We've talked a couple times. I'm not giving her an out. All I'm saying is, like, just kind of worry about yourself, you know? And I get it. I understand.
It's difficult.
I know. I don't know. Maybe this is positive Ariel speaking, trying to heal the world.
No, I
was watching this stuff and it just.
I would like that to be the way. I would love that. But I think it's very difficult. It becomes
like,
the story.
What's next? Someone's going to die and you're going to be like, well, if you would have listened to me and,
To be honest, that is the conversation to have, but maybe not in the public eye. That's the conversation to have with regulators. That's the conversation to have with the organizations and the teams. But that is the conversation. It's just that, do we need to be sniping at each other on social media?
Do you see this
when having
too?
That conversation? Sure, certainly. Yeah. It feels icky. But as I said, I think the intentions probably started in a noble place and it got changed as the competitive nature of it, kind of played out. I think, anybody who has the safety of athletes in mind, and that is their profession and that is their job, would probably be more similar than different. That is my thought. At the end of the day, if the conversation was to be happening behind closed doors instead of in public, I think that they would come to a better place.
I'm not sure who is more sensitive. Fighters, or MMA media, or MMA nutritionists?
All of the above.
Or
there
all
is
the
no
above.
Answer.
Come on, guys.
Everybody in this
Heal
sport
the world.
Is very sensitive.
Make it a better place.
Wow, this is, I mean, what a day
for
it is.
You
been.
And for me.
Jake and I were planning on going out for beers. I think you're in. I think you're involved.
No, let's not
later.
Get crazy. Let's not get crazy. You just came back from Invicta.
I did, Invicta.
New 145 pound champion. Her name?
Felicia Spencer. Montreal. Of Montreal.
We've talked about Felicia Spencer enough on this program.
Yes, because.
You never brought up once that she's from Montreal.
Because,
you know that's the key to my heart.
I should have, you know, tugged at that one a little sooner, but right now it's Florida. And has been Florida.
So,
but yes,
I live in the U.S. I'm Canadian.
Yes, okay. From Montreal, the third 145-pound champion in Invicta history, Cyborg, Megan Anderson, and now Felicia Spencer.
So just like that, she's on her way to the UFC? I'm kidding. I mean,
I'll say this.
And, is she
and
ready
I,
for
and
those?
I've said this to you, well, I've said this to you. She is legitimately 145 pounds, unlike many of the people in the UFC's current featherweight division, unlike the people on Tough. She is a legitimate 145 pounder, and she is a legitimate talent in the sport at only 27. Pam Sorensen is also a legitimate 145 pounder. You may remember her as being somebody the Cyborg tossed out as an actual featherweight opponent. As you can see now, we're getting a 135er in Amanda Nunes versus Cyborg. Felicia is a legitimate 145 pounds and a legitimate talent. One to watch and probably will at some point end up in the UFC's 145.
Lord knows we can use some 145.
Now,
how old is she? Do you know?
27.
Okay.
If 45 exists at the UFC level at that point.
What are you trying to say?
Well, if Cyborg's not around, do they want to keep the UFC? Right. 145-pound division. If Cyborg is around, then probably there's got to be names that you have to have for an opponent for her.
You know what's interesting? If Cyborg loses to Amanda Nunes, and yes. if they go ahead and do this abolishing of the flyweights, we could be down two divisions.
It's the same come February. Situation for sure.
Wild,
yeah. But that is the reason when people are pushing for the UFC, put this division in. In the past, they have not acted. Callously and carelessly in that regard, and have tried to build full divisions. 45 is not one that.
Not only do I think that they should not get rid of 145 and
125,
I think they should add female 105. I think the UFC, being the number one organization in the world, should have every division in the unified rules of MMA. And if they add 105, they're covered.
Man, these are very tough divisions to keep stock. These are very tough divisions. And is it fair for the UFC to create these divisions and not have the talent to sustain it? To say, well, we're going to get you a number of fights. That is a very difficult proposition. Somebody like an Invicta can sustain it.
Yeah,
has divisions that are fuller. It's hard. The UFC to start 115 had to take Invicta's entire division and then make that the basis.
That was wild.
It's a difficult position to be in. But suffice it to say, Alicia Spencer is worthy.
Which main event are you looking forward to more?
Yep.
Curtis Blaydes versus Francis Ngannou 2 or Chuck Liddell versus Tito Ortiz 3?
Curtis Blaydes versus
Come
Francis
on, 2. Get out of here.
Yeah. In fact,
I love the fact that it's like 6:30 a.m. Yes.
I didn't bet on the last card. I didn't throw out any picks. I'm throwing out a pick for this one.
Oh, what do you got?
I like Curtis Blaydes in this fight.
He's
currently minus 200, and Francis is plus 170.
Okay.
I don't like him at those odds, but I do like, at the moment, there's a prop on Curtis Blaydes inside the distance, and that's plus 107, and I like
Damn.
That.
Damn.
I like that.
What a difference a year makes. Around this time last year, Francis Ngannou was knocking out. Really? This time last year? What are you talking about?
I would have picked
Francis
Curtis.
Francis was knocking out Alistair Overeem.
Style matchup, this is a nightmare for Francis Ngannou. The gas tank, the takedown defense, this is going to be a very hard matchup. Now,
early granted, stoppage?
I think it'll be third round-ish. We saw them fight. It was going into the third before the doctor stopped the fight. What was it, cut? I think it was a cut.
Yeah.
The doctor stopped the fight. I think that's about where Curtis will be able to finish the fight. I would have picked him then. I'm more confident now. I think Ngannou is definitely dangerous. There's not an ounce of me that feels like he can't land a punch that will end this fight. He could do that against anybody. But stylistically, this is one of the harder matchups I think Francis is going to face. I would say Stipe stylistically is even less difficult for Francis to solve than Curtis. I think Curtis is going to be all over him. I think he's going to take him down quickly and not too difficultly. And I think he's going to be able to land some elbows from the top.
Will you watch Tito Chuck 3?
Yeah, I'll watch it.
I'm kind of going to watch it.
I'm going to watch it, but
maybe I
will on Black Friday order it so that I get the $20 price.
What are you talking about?
They have a promo.
What?
Fight TV may have it, I think.
What? For
half price on Black Friday for the Tito versus Chuck fight.
What does that mean? If I order it on Friday... But if I order it on Saturday, I don't get it?
No, it's a Black Friday promotion. Like, if you order it ahead of time.
Just for one day?
Yeah, for Black Friday.
Wow.
You know what Black Friday is, right?
I've never done it.
Black Friday is a day where companies are trying to get into the black. So they have, you know,
that's
what it originated on. Yeah.
Oh.
So they're giving discounts that will move product and move items to get them into the black. And so for the fight promotion, it's moving this pay-per-view and they'll get into the black.
Oh, okay. Let
me confirm this because I believe it's Fight TV.
And now you're going to say, oh, it's really.
No.
It's good that they slashed it to 39 because 49 was just absurd. And, I don't know. I saw Daron Wynn on my Instagram saying that if he knocks out Filthy Tom, he has to be on the show. So I kind of.
Fight TV.
Yeah.
Is offering 2 hours. The sale is in total.
What do you mean? I only have 2 hours to order it?
Yep. You can pre-order the event.
No one pre-orders pay-per-views.
This Friday. From 4 p.m. Eastern to 6 p.m. Eastern, You can order the event in that window, and you'll get it for half price.
Wow.
Fight TV.
All right. Thank you.
Unintended promo, but there you go.
Yeah. Fight TV. Wow. Look at you.
Look, I know my stuff.
Floyd, tension, back on. Not much else to say about that.
I will say the same thing I said the first time. I'm skeptical.
Yeah.
Until I hear the rules, until I hear exactly how it's happening, it could be canceled just as easily as it was last time.
Can I tell you what's my favorite combat sports story of the week?
Absolutely.
There's one that is, to me, so much more interesting than anything else going on.
Okay.
Number one, by far, massive gap between number one and number two. Can't get enough. All in. All my chips are in. Can't get enough. Intoxicated by it. Any guesses?
This better be good.
Jake, any guesses?
Coming up short with anything.
Two words. The man.
Ah, okay. Well done.
Becky Lynch.
Well done.
There was one fighter, and I'll call her a fighter, one fighter only, who could have tapped into Ronda's MMA career, and she has done it perfectly and become a star, not only because of that, but the way she's done it, phenomenal. I am all in.
I should have known when you said combat sports story instead of MMA story.
That's right. Although this is kind of an MMA story.
It is.
But you understand, there was one opportunity to do this right.
You have to be first, and not only do you have to be first, you have to nail it. And she nailed it.
She nailed it.
You have to nail it. I don't know how much Ronda would have set her up for it, or if it was like the engagements to that point were, you know, not scripted in the sense that like Ronda posted what she's going to post and Becky Lynch is going to post what she's going to post. But she set her up for
Ronda's
the knockout.
Are very cheesy. And
I like them.
I'm not watching. Like, I didn't watch Survivor Series. I don't watch any of this.
I saw it on my timeline.
It's all over the place.
Yeah.
But I'll see clips here and there. I saw this one clip last week where, you know, the whole thing happened. I can't even like follow. I can't wrap my head around it. But I see Ronda in the cage and she's doing this thing with her eye. She's like,
yeah,
this eye twitch thing. I'm like, you're overacting right now. This is not, again, it feels like you're playing pro wrestler.
I didn't see this one.
But the Becky Lynch thing feels very real.
Well, she really got punched.
She really got punched. What she's saying about Ronda's previous career, it's all very real. And that, to me, remember when Matt Riddle was on talking about unpredictability, talking about being authentic? When you start to wonder, is there anyone backstage okaying this or concocting this, scripting this? That's when it's at its best.
Yeah, the sense of not knowing whether it's been okayed is what we have.
Tremendous.
And Becky Lynch is capitalizing on it big time. And if I'm guessing, I'm guessing that Ronda is signing off on it.
Of course.
And good for her.
Now, not enough for me to sit down and watch it last night, but she wasn't on the card, right, Becky Lynch? But
no, she was out.
WrestleMania, New Jersey, I will be there.
You think that's going to be it?
If that's the main event.
I don't think that's going to be it.
And I want to see Riddle against Brock. And I'm
what?
I am all in.
Is that a thing?
Well,
Didn't Riddle just like debut? Like...
Yeah, but he said on the show that's who he wants.
Oh, no, that's not...
They'll take the clip from this show.
If that happens, then I'm in.
Can you imagine?
I don't think it'll be Becky and Ronda. I think it'll be Charlotte and Ronda.
Oh, get out of here.
After the things they did last night?
Becky Lynch was supposed to compete, for those that have no idea what we're talking
about. Yeah, she was supposed to compete, got punched for real.
Legit. Broke her face.
Yeah.
Orbital, I think, or nose.
Yeah.
Something.
No, orbital, yeah.
And then got pulled from the card. Legit.
Yep.
Legit pulled, right?
Yep.
Not a work.
No, not a work.
Shoot.
As far as we've been told.
According to my friends at postwrestling.com.
Shoot.
And then
replaced by Charlotte.
Now she's more popular than ever.
Yeah. But Charlotte, see, last night Charlotte beat her up. Like,
oh,
it was supposed to be legit.
What about David Arquette getting a pizza slicer to the neck?
No, that's not what happened. No, no, no. I know this because I've been following Casey and Esther.
Okay.
Wasn't it a light? It was something.
I don't know.
It was a tube of lighting.
Yeah.
That was broken, and then he got sliced on the neck.
And then he freaked out?
The pizza slicer was in the mouth, apparently. They were doing pizza slicer in the mouth.
By the way, one of the great WCW champions of all time.
Yes.
Ready to Rumble.
Even I know about this.
No joke, I've seen maybe 30 times. Have you seen Ready to Rumble?
One time, when I was a kid.
Jake, have you seen it?
In theaters.
Of course.
I saw it.
Tremendous movie.
Yeah, funny.
I never understood why it was mocked. And now I see him in this death match and he's bleeding. And
the idea that they call these death matches makes me very uncomfortable.
Yeah, the whole thing.
It's great to see him back on the scene though.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
No, like his neck actually got cut and like he could have actually died.
I know.
So like calling it like death match is like supposed to be like mocking the idea, but like he actually could have died.
Yeah.
So it bothers me. But, Great photos by Esther Lin.
What a weird time.
Showing the chunk out of his neck.
Everything's normal here on the MMA side of things. In pro wrestling, a little wacky.
Yeah, they're seeming to go the other direction, and we're toning it down over here.
So this weekend, after you consume all, and Jake, tell me this to wrap up. I mean, really, this guy. I mean, the nerve, right? The nerve.
You want me to play your music?
No, not yet. We're wrapping up what is going to be Thanksgiving week here in the U.S. of A. So you got one championship coming up. You've got UFC in Beijing, China. You've got Golden Boy making its MMA debut. There's a lot to like, my friends. And there's also Tiger Woods versus Phil Mickelson. There's so much going on. But really, the main attraction is Curtis Blaydes versus Francis Ngannou. Alistair Overeem versus Sergey Pavlovich. Some other names?
Whew.
No?
That's a tough fight for Alistair. Good for him for taking it.
Yeah.
He's giving a new guy an opportunity who's a very dangerous fighter. In fact, I think Overeem's the underdog in that fight.
Luis Smolka getting an opportunity to fight again in the UFC. Yep. Kevin Holland against John Phillips. I'm looking forward to Kevin Holland having a somewhat proper training camp. And the best part about this card, the best part, Fight Pass prelims, 3 a.m. Main card, 6:30 a.m. Saturday morning.
That's your solution?
Oh, love it.
How is that good?
Love it. I want to be showered by it.
Somewhere in the middle there. What if the prelims
started at 6:30? We're done what, 9? Perfect.
You're going to be up at 3 a.m. watching this?
No. We'll just
okay. So then that's not perfect.
Have like a 9 a.m. kickoff for the main card.
Yes. No.
I'm not spending the next 7 hours. No, perfect. I'll let everyone else get their shine. Wake up at 5. My daughter keeps waking up at 5:30 these days because of the daylight savings. Dogs barking because she's waking up. I mean, it's a mess of a situation. But anyway, we are happy. We are high on life. All is well. Peace and love.
Cross first.
Peace and love. There it is. I was waiting for it. What happened? Oh, you played the wrong song. What a perfect way to end this day. You played the wrong song. You got so excited, Jake, that I gave you the opening. I paused. Dramatic pause.
Not my day.
You know what? We've all been there before, my friend.
Wow.
We've all been there before.
It's momentous.
Yeah. But guess what? Next time, next week, we're going to do things the right way. We're going to get back on our horse. We're going to stay positive. We're going to stay focused. And we'll be back right here next week. Unless they, you know, shut this place down and lock away the key. And don't let us back here. That's a tease for greater things to come. But for now, we shall say goodbye. It has been a fun day here on the program. I hope you enjoyed it. If you missed anything, please do go back and check. And if you want to rate, subscribe. I don't ask people to do this, but I just want to let you know that this is a thing that apparently you can do. Because I know a lot of other podcasts do it. And that's why they shoot up the rankings.
Yes.
And quite frankly, I'm tired of it.
Show us some
love. I'm tired of you fudging the numbers. Anyway, thanks to all our guests. Thanks to everyone who tuned in. Thank you to Jake in the back. Thank you to New York Rick over here. Thank you to everyone back in Bristol, Connecticut. UFC in China. Golden Boy MMA. Chuck Liddell versus Tito Ortiz 3. It's actually happening in 2018. We'll be back next week to talk about that and a whole lot more. Have a great week and happy Thanksgiving. Bye-bye.